Our study this morning is going to be revolving around the crucifixion day. As you know, this week begins one of the most epic weeks in the history of mankind. It is the Passover week. The first event, of course, happened some 3,500 years ago when the Jewish nation was captive there in Egypt and they left. In the scripture, it is a complex and confusing week, to be truthful, because the whole story of this must be pieced together from four different writers in order to get the whole story, each referring to different parts of the same event. So you can pick up different tidbits of this Passover week, track the person of Christ during that week to the crucifixion. Each of the writers referring to different parts of the same event. Yet, once sorted out, Scripture provides us with enough facts to determine, first, the events of the last days of Christ, and second, thereby to fix with accuracy the day of his crucifixion, the actual day that he was crucified. And the thing that is amazing to me is how the Orthodox churches have strayed so far from what is correct and yet continue blindly ignoring what the Scripture says. For example, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. And we look here at a verse that is actually after the crucifixion of Christ, beginning with verse of that 63rd or 27th chapter, beginning with verse 62. Now, the next day that followed the day of preparation, and the day of preparation, of course, was the day that Christ was actually crucified. And they, if you remember, they were having to hurry to try to get him off of the cross because the next day was the holy day, the feast, and they could do no several work or anything like that on that holy day. So it was the preparation day for the Passover feast that they were hurrying to get him off the cross and buried by 6 p.m. that same day. So here we read in verse 62, "Now the next day, following the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver," now that's referring to Christ, that deceiver said, "while he was yet alive," and of course now he's dead, this is the day after the crucifixion, day after the preparation day, "after 3 days I will rise again." Now, I don't care how you count it, after 3 days, and Orthodox Christianity crucifies Christ on Friday and resurrection on Sunday morning. There's no way to count that and get 3 days. I don't care if you count Friday as the first day and Saturday and even count Sunday. It's not after 3 days. And so Orthodoxy is teaching this. And I don't care if you're a Catholic, a Presbyterian, a Baptist, a Lutheran, Church of God, everybody teaches Christ crucified on Friday and resurrected on Sunday morning and you cannot get 3 days out of that. So today I want to take you through a rather circuitous route, maybe a little bit confusing, to show what Scripture records as the crucifixion day and how to calculate it, and then let you decide your own conclusion about what is correct. The first thing we need to do is to nail down the date of the Passover. So turn, if you will, in your Bibles to the book of Numbers, page 224 in the Companion Bible. Numbers chapter 28. Numbers chapter 28. And there we read, beginning in verse 16. And in the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord. And in the 15th day of this month is the feast. 7 days shall unleavened bread be eaten. So the 14th is the preparation day. And the 15th of the month, and that's the first month of the Jewish calendar, by the way, Nisan is the first. And the 15th day of this month is a feast. That's the holy day. 7 days shall unleavened bread be eaten. And in the first day shall be a holy convocation. Ye shall do no manner of servile work therein. Fourteenth is the Passover, preparation day. 15th, the feast on the holy day. From here, we track the Lord's movement the week of the Passover and before. Turn back now to your in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 21. Matthew, chapter 21. Verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus 2 disciples. And I want to stop there and back up, because we want to know, where is he coming from? Well, go back up there, you will see back up there in verse 29, and they departed from Jericho. So he was in Jericho, then beginning there in verse 1 of 21, and when they drew nigh from Jericho unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethage and to the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus 2 disciples. Saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And of course, that was hundreds and hundreds of years prior. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes. And that's a sign of respect, to throw your clothes out for him to sit on. Or you can go back in the Old Testament and find where they threw out their clothes for the king to walk on. It's a sign of respect. Put their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, the son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and brought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that said sold doves. And said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saying to them, yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city unto Bethany, and he lodged there. So, first thing we want to do is try to get a handle on the movement of Christ. So we saw there that he was in Jericho. The city of Jericho. And that he left there. And he went and he passed through another city, which was Bethage. And through Bethage he went and he came into another city. And that was Jerusalem. And then it says there at the end, and he left them and went out of the city unto Bethany, and he lodged there. So he left Jerusalem, and we'll move him down here to another city, Bethany. This entry that we just read about into Jerusalem sounds like Palm Sunday that we're celebrating today. That was the first entry, but we're going to see that there are actually four entries into Jerusalem. The first one being this entry that we just read about, where they sang Hosanna and they threw out palm branches and so forth. Now, we want to find out exactly when was that. Well, we'll find that it was that this entry was into Jerusalem on Friday, the 9th. Well, so how do we know that? Well, turn in your Bibles, if you will. First, let me point out, I skipped. Notice there in what we read in verse 2, where it says, loose them. That's plural. He had, in this entry, there was two. There was an ass and a colt. And then in verse 10, notice something else. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? There was a multitude with him. They were taken by surprise. They didn't know who that it was. And of course, then we've already pointed out in verse 17, he left Jerusalem to Bethany. And it's there in Bethany that we can date the events. And we can find out that that entry was actually on a Friday. So, Matthew's not telling us that. But who is telling us that? Well, turn over to John, chapter 12. John, chapter 12. Verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. So we know that he was here 6 days before the Passover. And when is the Passover? The Passover is the 14th. So his entrance into Jerusalem was on the 9th, Friday, the 9th, 6 days before the Passover. The Passover being the 14th of Nisan. Now, we want to go on and read some of the rest of what John has to say here. Verse 2. There they made him a supper. Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. And then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, a very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Probably skimming off the top of that bag from time to time. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. Well, his burying wasn't that far away, but they didn't understand or know it. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore know that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus unto death, because that by reason of many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. So the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him. The next day. Was coming to Jerusalem. The next day. What day could that be? It could not be Saturday. We know the 9th he came in on Friday, but he could not be going back to Jerusalem the next day because, as you would think that reads, because the next day was the Sabbath, Friday, or Saturday. So, he's here in Bethany, and this is, the next day is when he goes back to Jerusalem, is actually the 11th. Which is what? What we celebrate as Palm Sunday. This is his second entry into the holy city. We read there in verses 12, and let's read on. They took branches of trees and went forth to meet him there in verse 13 and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting upon an ass. These things understood not his disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. Notice there, it's a single ass. So the entry here is an ass and a colt. But when he goes back to Jerusalem next time, it's only mentioned that he's on an ass. And of course, this is Sunday, being that the Sabbath was on the 10th. And so it was a holy day. He couldn't travel on the 10th. He had to wait a day. So that was the next day that he went back in to Jerusalem. The day after the Sabbath. One animal. And this is the triumph entry that we think of today. So go back to Mark chapter 11. We'll see what Mark's got to say about this same event. He records a little different information. Mark chapter 11. And we look at verse, well, let's start with verse 1 of 11. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem and to Bethage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent us forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into, ye shall find a colt tied on. Never man sat loose on him, and bring him. That's one, by the way. And if any man say unto you, Why do this? Ye say that the Lord need need of him, and the straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. They loosed him, and a certain of them that stood there said unto him, What do ye loose the colt? Why do ye loosen the colt? And said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let him go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way. The others cut branches of the trees and straw in them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and looked into the and into the temple. And when he had looked around about upon all things, and now eventide was come, and he went out into Bethany with the 12. So he makes another entry into Jerusalem. And this is the third entry. Or the second entry. And he had come back. And then he goes back up there again. He makes another entry, which is a third entry into Jerusalem. And we know that by this verse 11, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked around upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12 again. So this entry was on Monday, the 12th. And it's there that he, on the way, he cursed the fig tree. Let's read on down. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus said unto the temple, and began to cast them out, and sold and bought the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, It is not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. The scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because of the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when he and when Eve was come, he went out of the city. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up after the roots. That fig tree gives us some idea when he goes and past it, then back into Jerusalem again. We know that he evidently had to return to Bethany in order to see that same fig tree again. So the preparation day for the holy is out here on the 14th. And of course, the next day is the holy day, which is the 15th. The 14th, the preparation day, is actually the day of the crucifixion, the day of the cross. That is a Wednesday. And we know because this was the 9th. So 6 days, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, the crucifixion had to be on the 14th, which is 6 days from here. It was not a holy day, but the holy day started at 6 p.m. this evening is where the Jewish day starts at sunset. And this is why they were trying to get him off of the cross. This is on Wednesday, not Friday that's typically taught. It's on Wednesday. And so they did get him off the cross. He was crucified at 9, the sixth, or was crucified the third hour, which is actually 9 a.m. in the morning. He could not have eaten of the Passover lamb because it was not killed until after he was already on the cross. That afternoon when they killed the Passover, he was already crucified that morning. The Last Supper was eaten sitting down. The Passover standing up, of course. But we need some proof that the crucifixion was actually on the 14th or Wednesday, the preparation day. So turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Beginning with verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. 3 days and 3 nights, it is known as a Hebrew idiom. When only 3 days is stated as any part of that time. But when nights are added in the Hebrew, when nights are added, it is no longer an idiom, but the exact time that is required. 3 full days and 3 full nights is what is required in the Hebrew for the Son of Man to be in the grave. Now, you know that, and we didn't cover. He comes back here, of course, to Bethany again, and then the next day he goes back into the. When he goes back up again, this is the fourth entrance into the city. and he passes that fig tree that he saw on this entrance into the city. They passed that fig tree, so we know that he was back in Bethany, and they made his fourth trip up to Jerusalem. And of course, that was on a Tuesday, the 13th. So he's crucified then the next day on the 14th. Now Jewish days are sunset to sunset. So Wednesday the 14th, the first night would be sunset Wednesday to sunset Thursday. That'd be the first night. The first day would be sunset Wednesday to sunset Thursday. The second night, sunset Thursday to sunrise Friday. The second day would be sunset Thursday to sunset Friday. The third night, sunset Friday to sunrise Saturday. And the third day would be sunset Friday to sunset Saturday. Christ arose and came out of the grave sometime after sunset Saturday night, which is the Jewish first day of the week. Prophecy fulfilled that we read there in the 40th verse of Matthew 12. The Son of Man, 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That's the only way that you can get 3 days and three nights is for the crucifixion to have been on Wednesday, Niacin the 14th. 3 days and three nights, and where does he come up? He comes up on Sunday. Sometime after sunset on Saturday night. And yet, Orthodox continues to celebrate the crucifixion being on not Thursday, but on Friday, and you cannot get 3 days and three nights for resurrection on Sunday. I don't care how you count it. Now, you say, what difference does it make? Well, it doesn't really make any difference as far as our salvation is concerned. But is it important to know? Yes. Why? Because it lends credence to the fact that Scripture is always correct. Scripture is very, very accurate. And no matter what day, we are thankful that our salvation is complete as a result of the finished work of Christ. And I don't care if he was crucified on Wednesday or Friday. What's important to me is the salvation that comes as a result of him coming out of the grave, this resurrection on Sunday. That's, to me, is what is most important. Now, that's a little bit kind of a confusing bunch of information, I understand. I have a couple of charts here. I don't have enough maybe to pass around. I think I've got 7 or 8 of them that have shown this more or less on a map, and the scriptures that we looked at are there. If any of you would like to have one of these, I think most of you probably have one already anyway. But I have two different ones. I have this one, which is what I think to be correct, and then this one, which shows the traditional thinking with regard to the crucifixion of Christ. So if you'd like to have one, you can come and pick one up. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. How grateful we are for our salvation in Christ Jesus, for his death on the cross, and even more importantly, his power and might over the grave, his resurrection. Pray that you would continue to give us open hearts and minds, that we may continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of you. We pray that we all may each be rooted and grounded in your love to one another here at the Forum. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.